Songwriter, singer, and actor Kris Kristofferson was just elected to the Country Music Hall of Fame. His induction is in November. His songs include Me and Bobby McGee, For the Good Times, From the Bottle to the Bottom, and Help Me Make It Through the Night. Kristofferson arrived in Nashville in the 1960s, after living in England as a Rhodes Scholar and serving in the military. His first job in the music industry was working as a janitor at Columbia Records. It was there that he met Johnny Cash, who became his good friend, recorded Kristofferson's songs, and convinced Kristofferson to start recording himself. Kristofferson is as well known for his acting as for his singing. His films include Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, A Star is Born, Lone Star, Payback, and Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which was just released on DVD as part of a Martin Scorsese box set. Terry spoke with Kris Kristofferson in 1999. Let's get started with his best-known song, Me and Bobby McGee.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. Took us all away to New Orleans. I took my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana and was blowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time and Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang a velvet song that driver knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. Feeling good was easy, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. Feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee.
The most famous line from the song is freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. What inspired that line?
Well, that's what the song was really about to me, was the double-edged sword, you know, that freedom is. And when I wrote that, some of my songwriter friends in Nashville told me to take it out of the song, said it was that it didn't fit, that it, the rest of the imagery was so real and concrete that it was out of place to put a little philosophical line in there.
Tell me if I remember correctly, did you have a house that burned down at about the time you wrote this song?
No, I had had it. I'll tell you what I had. I was living in a condemned building at the time, and in a thing that cost me, I think, $50 a month. And somebody had broken into it during the week that I was down in the Gulf of Mexico and trashed the place and stole what little I had to steal. I remember it was a very liberating feeling to me because everything was gone and there was nowhere to go but up. I had also alienated my family at the time. My wife had left me and I was separated, you know, from my kids, and I think I'd been disowned by my parents by that time, and it was pretty liberating not having any expectations or anything to live up to.
What year did you first get to Nashville, and what was it like when you got there?
I first went there in June of 1965, and was on my way back from a 3-year tour in the Army in Germany, and was on my way to the career course down at Fort Benning, and from there to supposedly to teach English at literature at West Point. And since my military obligation was already fulfilled, I decided I was going to get out of the Army and be a songwriter. I had spent a couple weeks there just on tour. I mean, just, you know, I was on leave and got shown around to some of the songwriter sessions and got a glimpse of the life. I've always felt like I was really lucky to have been exposed to Nashville at that time, because I'm sure it's different now.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Kris Kristofferson, songwriter, singer, and actor. How did you start making movies? Did you think, one day I'm going to act?
When I started performing my own songs, my first the first place I ever played was at the Troubadour Club in Los Angeles. It was kind of a hangout like the Bitter End in New York. And I think at the time there was more people looking for new blood, because I got a lot of offers just off of performing there. And eventually Harry Dean Stanton gave me a script. I didn't even know he was an actor at the time. I thought he just sang in the bar there at the Troubadour. But he helped me do a screen test for a film that was called Cisco Pike. And I got to put my music in it. And I was the lead in it, in a film with Gene Hackman and Karen Black and Harry Dean. And just went on from there.
Compare the roles that you get now with what you got early on. You're often playing the heavy now.
Yeah, I think that's thanks to John Sayles.
And Lone Star.
In Lone Star, yeah.
Yeah, where you played a sadistic sheriff.
Yeah, it was so different from most of the roles that I played before that that I think people finally thought I was acting. I'm not sure anybody thought I'd ever acted before that.
Well, I thought I'd play a short scene from Payback. And in this movie, Mel Gibson is a con man who's getting revenge on the people who conned him out of $70,000 and also shot him and left him for dead. You play somebody who heads a crime syndicate, and Mel Gibson has kidnapped your son and is holding him hostage until you deliver the $70,000. But now you've got Mel Gibson tied up, and you're trying to get him to tell you where he's holding your son. And here you are threatening him.
Here it is. $130,000. That's as close as you're ever going to get to it. But I'll make you a deal. Tell me where John is and I'll finish you quick. I promise you won't have to find out what your left ball tastes like. But if there's even a bruise on him, I'll make this last 3 weeks. I'll give you a blood transfusion to keep you alive if I have to. Where is he?
That's Kris Kristofferson in a scene from Payback. How'd you get this part?
Well, they had actually finished the film and apparently weren't satisfied with the way it worked. And they created this character for me to play. And I went in and shot a week, and I told Mel, I said, yeah, there's not any pressure on me. The whole film doesn't work, and you expect me to repair it in a week. but I think I got it because of playing Charlie Wade, you know, in the Lone Star.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to close with another song from your new CD, The Austin Sessions. This is a song called The Pilgrim, Chapter 33. Now, this song is quoted in Taxi Driver. The Sybil Shepherd character, Betsy, buys the record for Travis, the taxi driver played by Robert De Niro, and she says that he reminds her of the character in the song, and she quotes the line, "He's a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction." How did the song end up in Taxi Driver?
I don't know. I always felt like that was the nicest thing that Marty Scorsese ever did. to me.
Well, I guess you had already worked with him, and Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't know it was going to be in that one. And God, he had, there's De Niro holding up my album, and they're quoting me like Bob Dylan or something. It was. I still think that's one of the sweetest things I've ever seen anybody do for anybody in the business.
And who did you write the song about?
Well, I wrote it about myself and about a lot of friends of mine that I thought were, you know, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Chris Gantry, Johnny Cash, and everybody I knew at the time. And a lot of us were 33 at the time. That's why it's called Chapter 33. And Dennis Hopper. I remember when we were down in Peru, every time that you would tell somebody you were 33 years old, they'd say, "Ah, the age of Christ." So that sort of fit the pattern of it.
So were you referring at all to how you and a lot of people you knew were kind of self-invented?
Oh, yes. Yes. Partly truth and partly fiction. You know, I've always felt that I and many of the people I admire are figments of our own imagination. I always felt that Willie Nelson, Muhammad Ali, were particularly successful at that, at imagining themselves and living up to what they imagined themselves to be. When I first saw Muhammad Ali, he was Cassius Clay. He was a little skinny, light heavyweight over in Rome. And he was telling everybody he was going to be the biggest, the best. You know, he was the next Joe Louis, and he imagined himself right up into that.
Do you feel you did that too?
I think I did. When I think back to when I first was writing my first songs, you know, like when I was 11 years old, down in Brownsville, Texas, I think that I imagined myself into a pretty full life after that. I was certainly not equipped by God to be a football player, but I got to be one. And I got to be a ranger and a paratrooper and a helicopter pilot, you know, and a boxer. And a lot of things that I don't think I was built to do. I just imagined them.
Chris Christopherson, speaking with Terry Gross in 1999. Christopherson has just been elected to the Country Music Hall of Fame. His induction will be in November. Here's that clip from Taxi Driver, featuring Robert De Niro and Sybil Shepherd.
You want to go to a movie with me?
I have to go back to work then.
Well, I mean now. I mean like another time, though?
Sure. You know what you remind me of?
What?
That song by Chris Christopherson.
Who's that?
The songwriter. He's a prophet. He's a prophet and a pusher. Partly truth, partly fiction. Walking contradiction.
You're saying that about me?
Well, who else would I be talking about?
I'm no pusher. I never have pushed.
No, just the part about the contradiction. You are that.